But you've all been well introduced to the theme of Hosea, which is return unto the Lord. And tonight kind of sums that up for us, what this book is all about. And that is God pleading with his people to return unto him. So tonight we'll look at Hosea 14, verses 1 through 9. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn unto the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So return unto the Lord. Dear Lord, we do ask that you'd use your word tonight to grow us. We thank you for it. And Lord, how precious and powerful it is. And now, Lord, speak to our hearts personally from it. And may you be glorified through this service. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So you can see God here is concluding this plea with his people that Hosea has been all about, reminding them of their sin, warning them of the coming chastisement for their sin, and pleading with them to return to the Lord. God is always pleading with his children to return because we are such wanderers, aren't we? But notice, it's return to the Lord thy God. This is not written to the lost. This is written to those who have the God of heaven as their God, to those who have come to God in the first place. So this is not written to a lost person saying, come back to your... This is written to someone who's already come to the Lord and has drifted away, and God is saying, please return to the Lord thy God. And what God is saying is every Christian needs to return to that right relationship, that right fellowship with the Lord. And we've seen this theme all throughout the book. Just as a reminder, go to chapter 6, verse 1 of Hosea. Come and let us return unto the Lord. So we see it there. And then also in chapter 12, verse 6. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. Look there. Therefore turn thou to thy God. So we see that this has been the consistent theme of Hosea, and God reminding his children that sin separates. Sin hinders our consistent fellowship with our God. Notice he says in verse 1 of chapter 14, thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Sin separates. Sin is always the problem. We saw last week how he said, thine own backslidings shall rebuke thee. And we're told in Isaiah 59, your sin has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So sin separates. You've fallen by your iniquity. So where does restoration begin? God lays it out for us here tonight. Chapter 14, verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. It all starts with us being willing to talk to God. You cannot return to God if you're not willing to talk to God. If you're not willing to come to God and admit that you're wrong. Remember the publican who came to the temple to pray. After the Pharisee prayed his flowery prayer that meant nothing, the publican, the Bible says, standing afar off, smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He used words to say, I'm wrong. I've sinned. And that's what he's saying. Take with you words and say unto him, take away all iniquity. Restoration with the Lord always begins with us, doesn't it? Because God never changes. God never moves. We're the ones that drift away. And so if we're going to be restored to the Lord, it always starts with us being willing to say, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, and I confess. And of course, we're reminded of that. If you want to turn to 1 John 1:9, you can, but most of us know by heart. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And also look at Proverbs chapter 28, if you would, in verse 13. It always starts with confession. Getting right with God always starts with confession. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See that word, confess? So it starts with us speaking the words, I was wrong. Please forgive me. God is saying it to Israel, please return before it's too late. Start by confessing your sins, confessing, admitting that you're wrong, and asking Him, as it says there in Hosea 14:2, to cleanse us, to take away the iniquity, and receive us graciously. The throne that we come to for forgiveness, for confession, is referred to Hebrews 4:16 as the throne of grace. Is it not? Because God is a God of grace. And so it goes on to say, after confession, what does it say? And so will we render the calves of our lips. Do you know what always accompanies revival is praise? Backslidden Christians don't praise God, do they? But when we're right with God, we can't help ourselves. That's what he's saying. We'll render the calves of our lips. If we confess, if we come back to you, if we get forgiveness, we will praise you, Lord. And we've got a whole book in the Old Testament. That's its primary purpose. It's about praising God, isn't it? And that's the book of the Psalms. Psalm after psalm about praising God. And then in the New Testament, look at Hebrews 13:15. When we praise God, it pleases Him because He's worthy of praise. And ultimately, are we not here to bring Him glory? Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We're here to glorify God. What better way to glorify God than to praise Him? Hebrews 13:15. Look what it says. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So God is giving us this beautiful progression for returning to Him, and it always starts with confession, which will be accompanied by praise. And chapter 14, verse 3, admitting that we've been trusting in man, trusting in ourselves, rather than trusting in the Lord. When we stop praying, who are we trusting in for strength that day? Ourselves. Verse 3, Asher shall not save us, and we will not ride upon horses. In other words, we're going to stop trusting man. So we're going to confess our sin. We're going to render the calves of our lips, and we're going to stop trusting man, stop trusting man's resources like horses, and we're going to start trusting God, which we should be doing every day anyway, shouldn't we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So if we're going to see a revival, if we're going to see a return of the Lord, we're going to confess, we're going to praise, and we're going to stop trusting man, stop trusting ourselves. Look at Psalm 146, verse 3, if you would, quickly. And we'll see that, sure enough, this is one of the ingredients of revival is that we stop trusting ourselves, stop trusting man's resources. Notice it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. David says in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so we stop trusting man's resources in our walk, and we start trusting God alone. So confession, praise, trusting God, not man. And then verse 3, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. It's all about humility, isn't it? It's all about God is right, we're wrong. God is powerful, we're weak. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So it's never complicated. It's always been the same. As we went through Isaiah, as we went through Jeremiah, we saw it over and over again. Come back to God. Return unto the Lord. And then God summarizes for us here, starting in verse 4, what he'll do for us if we will return unto him. And it starts there in verse 4 with healing our backsliding. Isn't that good? We all need that. I will heal their backsliding. God is always ready to heal our backsliding. But God gave us a free will. Go to Isaiah 55, if you would, verse 7. And we have to make the first move. We have to admit we're wrong. We have to confess. We have to come to God, ask for his forgiveness. The good news is if we will, he will. He will always heal our backsliding. Isaiah 55, look down in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Sound familiar? Return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God will heal our backslidings. But did you notice what has to happen first? Let the wicked forsake his way. We've got to admit we're wrong. We've got to come to God and say, I was wrong, Lord. Please forgive me. And God always is ready to heal our backslidings. Back in our passage, Hosea 14:4, not only will he heal our backsliding, but then he will pour out his love upon us even more. Notice he says, and I will love them freely. We talked about this in Potato today, but the love of God isn't deserved, is it? The love of God is given because God is love, not because we deserve God's love. And God pours out his love even more when we get right with him. And we get to bask in it and enjoy it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:4, his great love wherewith he loved us. And so he says, I'll heal their backsliding. I'll love them freely. Verse 4, and mine anger is turned away. Hallelujah. David says in one of the Psalms that we definitely don't receive what we deserve for our sin. If we did, we'd all be in serious trouble. And so for Christians, of course, God's anger was turned away through Calvary. Amen. It's called reconciliation. But after we're Christians, once we make a mistake, backslide, if we'll repent and come back to the Lord, he'll heal our backsliding. He'll love us freely. And his anger will be turned away. And will be what he's basically telling us is that sweet fellowship that we should all desire on a daily basis. Like David said, he longs after the Lord as a deer longs after the waters. It'll be restored. And he says there in verse 5, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread. You see what he's saying here? That if we'll repent and get right, we're going to have stability again. We're going to grow like we're supposed to. He's talking about the roots being deep and the branches being strong and so forth. All of this happens when we'll come back to the Lord. This new growth and stability. Go to Psalm 1 and we'll see this. Great passage if you want a beautiful passage. Memorizes Psalm 1, 1-3, where God likens us to a tree. But notice what he says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And now look what he says. And he shall be like a tree, just like we're seeing here in Hosea 14. Like a tree planted by the rivers. The tree by the river always does better because it's always got water. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we'll have that stability. Our branches will spread, will grow as the lily, will cast forth our roots. All of this will happen if we'll return unto the Lord. And I like what he says there in verse 7 of our passage. It shall dwell under his shadow. Most of us know Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Is there any better place to dwell than in that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty God? So he'll heal, he'll love, his anger's turned away. We'll have new stability in our lives. And look what he says in verse 7, and they shall revive. That's where we get the word revival. Revival isn't about people getting saved necessarily. It's about Christians being revived, Christians getting right with God. Now, one of the byproducts will be people getting saved, because if Christians are right, they'll witness like they're supposed to. But revival is Christians getting right. And so God has given us what we need to do. Come back to Him, admit we're wrong, repent. Humility, admit that only God is our help and not man. And God promises he'll heal and love and turn away his anger, give us stability, and we'll be revived in verse 7 and grow as the vine. Jesus said that we're here to bring forth fruit. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, John 15:8. If you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. But he also says in John 15, verse 5, without me you can do nothing. We can't bear fruit without the Lord. So I like how he finishes in verse 9. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. This chapter hasn't been complicated, has it? Return to the Lord. And look at all these wonderful things that will happen in your walk. Return to the Lord, because he says here in this last verse, the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Isn't that good? The ways of the Lord are right. And we all know that to be true. It's just sin gets in the way, and the flesh gets in the way, and the world gets in the way, and the devil gets in the way, and sometimes we slip. But the ways of the Lord are right. And look at Psalm 19:8, and it's part of the song that we sing. Psalm 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. They're right. There is a true right and wrong in the world and in the universe. Amen? God's ways are right. Man's ways are wrong. And David says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, in Psalm 119:75. So he finishes his plea with the same theme, return. Return unto the Lord. Confess. Praise the Lord again. Trust God only. Come to God with complete humility, and he will heal. He will love freely. He will turn away his anger. Give that new that restability and revive us as the corn. Because the ways of the Lord are the right ways, and the just shall walk in them. So revival, it's never complicated. It's just difficult because of our pride and our flesh. But it's always the same. Repent, confess, get close to God again, and you'll be revived. Return unto the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this.